Well, today we're throwing in the towel. That we have come to the end of Psalm 119. Tau is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Makes a T sound just like Tet. They actually have a slightly different sound, but in modern Hebrew, there's no difference. They're just used differently. You kind of have to learn. This section does sum up the entire psalm of Psalm 119. It reminds us how much we need God, and it reminds us not to forget what we have claimed to value so much as we have looked at this psalm, that is God's word. First, if we're going to remember God's word, we have to remember God's word if we're going to live it. We can't live what we don't know. It's quite exasperating for me personally when I hear people claim that they're following the Bible, or they claim that they're doing what Jesus said or Jesus would want them to do, but they can't even tell me what Jesus said. They can't quote Jesus. They don't even know where to find what it is that they're talking about in the Bible. And there are many people who only think they know what the Bible says because they've actually never really studied it for themselves. They've never bothered looking it up for themselves. They might know a verse, but they've never looked at the wider context around that verse. And they don't really know. But we should be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. In that story, Paul and his companions come to that town and they go to the synagogue in Berea. And it says that the Bereans listened to what Paul had to say with an open mind. They weren't closed off. They were willing to hear something that they hadn't heard before. But then it says they didn't take things at face value. It says in Acts 17:11 that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were true. That is, whatever Paul and his companions were teaching, they were willing to have their views and assumptions changed, but they didn't just say, oh, this guy seems to know what he's saying. Maybe I'll agree with him. No, they went back to the scriptures and they looked it up for themselves. They studied it and they said, is what he's saying about this passage really what it means? Is this really true? And we read on that many important people in that town came to know Jesus because of it. They were willing to have their views and assumptions changed, and then they looked at the scriptures to see if that's really what it meant or could mean, and then they believed in Jesus. Psalm 119 has reminded us again and again of the benefits and the blessings of reading, studying, memorizing, obeying, and practicing God's laws, God's commandments, God's statutes, God's testimonies, promises, and words. So we can't remember what we don't know in the first place. Second, we're reminded that when we know and obey God's word, we find joy in our lives. Obedience to God actually leads to a joyful life. God's commands and laws were never meant to be burdensome, but freeing and protecting. And when we live within the boundaries that God has set up, we find true freedom, true peace, and a lack of worry. And don't forget that some of God's commandments are good things. Loving people is a good thing. God included things like participation in rest and in festivals and in feasts, fun things that I want you to take time to celebrate, to party, to get together with your friends, to get together with people you know. And we see joy reflected in the psalmist's petition in verse 175 when he says, "Let my soul live and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me." Note that God, not the scriptures, gives life to our souls, but God's judgments help us to live that life. Without God's help, we can't live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Because without Jesus, God's commandments and judgments do seem burdensome. In the Sermon on the Mount, we learn that we can't do even the simple things that God has commanded, or things that we think are simple. Jesus goes through those 10 commandments and expands them to a point where we realize there is no way that we can do these things. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Jesus restores us, gives us strength, and gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can obey and live as God wants us to live. This section also reminds us on how dependent we are on God to keep God's word. In this case, the psalmist didn't forget God's word, and yet it says, I still go astray like a lost sheep. This is the exact same kind of thing that Paul gets at in Romans chapter 7, where he says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I find myself doing the things that I'm not supposed to do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And it's a whole big mess, and I can't do the right thing. And he says, who can deliver me from this body of death? And then he goes on to write Romans 8. Thanks be to God, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. And he goes on to write how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all work together to accomplish our salvation. The Trinity works to save us not only from our sin, but from ourselves. And we are dependent upon God's grace and mercy. We don't deserve it, and we do go astray, but it is the Good Shepherd who seeks us and finds us and brings us home. I think a lot of times when we hear that story of the Good Shepherd seeking his sheep, looking for that one lost and leaving the 99, we think of that as a salvation story, and I think it is, but that's not all it is, because even us who know that we belong to Jesus still wander off, and Jesus still seeks us time and time again. We never stop. We are always at some time still that lost sheep that Jesus brings home. And thank God that he does. We might know the way because we have learned the scriptures, but only Jesus is the way. In verse 174, the psalmist expresses, I long for your salvation, O Yahweh, and your law is my delight. Because the scriptures reveal to us the means of salvation, that is, it tells us that salvation is found in Jesus Christ. But the scriptures can't save us. Only God through Jesus Christ saves us. And yet there are blessings promised to those who do obey. And while we never deserve God's grace and mercy, they are God's good free gifts. We can knowingly be the beneficiaries of those who obey. It's what the psalmist asked for in verse 173 when he says, let your hand become my help, for I've chosen your precepts. I am choosing to do what you said, Lord, and I know that when I do this, these are the blessings you promised, so help me to do it, and let me receive those wonderful things. We're also dependent upon God when we come to the scriptures, because we need God to illuminate God's word. We pray for the Holy Spirit, which is one of his jobs, the Spirit's jobs. In Psalm 119, 169, the psalmist prays, give me understanding according to your word. We might be good at remembering God's word, but we might not always understand it. And so we need the Spirit to give us understanding and to teach us. The word and prayer are not meant to be separated. If God's word is going to get from here to here, if it's going to be something that God can use to transform our lives and to make us more like Jesus, then it must be accompanied with prayer. And when we learn, we ought to praise God, just as the psalmist does. When we have those aha moments or those insights, or we're able to do something that we couldn't do before, we need to remember to praise God and thank God and give God the glory that we are in a different place than we were a while ago. Prayer can't be separated from the word because God's word is one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. When we are searching for an answer to prayer, if we want to know if something that we hear God saying or feel God saying or see around us is really an answer to prayer that's truly from God, then we have to go back to the scriptures and test it against us, because God's never going to do anything contrary to what God has already laid out. There's a lot of people out there who claim to hear from God, and yet what they say is in contradiction to what the Lord reveals about himself, his purposes, and his ways in scripture. So if what you think is God speaking runs contrary to what is in the word, then it's not God. It's either something from your own imagination or it's something demonic, because that's what Satan likes to do. And I was listening to Breakpoint last week, and they had this exact thing happen. Some woman had this, what she felt was a revelation from God, and she said, "This is what God is telling me," and she told her church people about it, and they were like, well, let's see what God's word says about that. And she got angry because they didn't believe her that God was speaking to her, that they wanted her to go and look at the scriptures and see if what she said lined up. And sadly, she chose not to listen to them. If you really think it's from God, then you're going to allow yourself to go through that process and have what you say measured against God's word. And if it is, then it's from the Lord, and then the body can rejoice with you and accept that and say, "Wow, this is really amazing," and maybe even learn something new and have a new insight. But if you're not even willing to go through that process, then it's probably a good sign that it's not Jesus talking. When we pray, we're also called to pray according to God's word. If we pray the scriptures, then we will always pray correctly. This is what the psalmist practices when he prays in Psalm 119, verse 170, "Let my supplication come before me and deliver me according to your word." So he knows that what he's asking for is in accordance to God's word, and he knows that if he prays what God wants him to pray, God promises to deliver, because in God's word it says, "I'm going to deliver you." God says that again and again and again, and that is connected oftentimes with certain things that we're supposed to do, and sometimes it's just one of God's promises. So we're in a mess, we can say, "God, I know you promised to help me because it's in your word," and we claim that promise and we say, "Deliver me according to your word." When we stray, may we be people who know God's word so that we can remember God's word. Because when we remember God's word, we're not without hope. All those wonderful promises that are in here, we know that we can have access to those. We have the promises that the Good Shepherd is going to look for us and bring us back home when we go astray. We can trust God to rescue us, not because we deserve it, but because it's God's very character to save his children. When we remember God's word, we're reminded what we need to do, and we can ask the Lord to help us because we know that we can't do it in our own strength. As we come to the end of our study on Psalm 119, I pray that God's word truly would be a treasure to us. May it be something that we can know and we know how to access, that it's not just head knowledge, but that we truly hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against God. May the scriptures be a ready tool that the Holy Spirit can use to make us more like our Master. May the scriptures be a source of joy and comfort in our lives. May it not be a book that gathers dust on the shelf or the table, or an app on our smartphone or tablet that we never access and open. But may it be something that we go to again and again and again. And when we hear stuff in sermons or on the radio, may we be like the Bereans in Acts 17 and go look it up and see if these things are true. When we feel like we have an answer, something God giving us an insight, let us go to the scriptures and see if that really is what God is telling us to do. God does do new things, but he does new things in accordance with what he's always said before. I pray that you will love the scriptures as much as this psalm writer has claimed to love it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have truly given us a treasure in your word, and you yourself are a treasure. And we know that prayer and scripture are not meant to be separated, that they go together, because it's how we learn your will and it's how you reveal your will to us. We thank you that we can trust, Good Shepherd, that you're going to come and get us time and time again when we stray like lost sheep. You're never going to stop looking for us and bringing us back home. Thank you that your hand is always upon us. Lord, may we have a passion for the scriptures, just as the psalmist has expressed in this wonderful, amazing poem. May we learn it and memorize it and study it and not forget it. May we be accountable to it. And may we find joy in it as we know the promises that you have for us, that your commandments are meant for our benefit and not for our punishment. Lord, we thank you that you are merciful and gracious, because we know it, because it's in your word, and that's who you are. Thank you that this word reveals your character, and it's the means by which we may come to know you. Lord, may we have a passion to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.